1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. And I would have to say that if there was ever a verse that was popular for being on a plaque and that believers would hang them on their wall and it would remind them that they are to not be anxious but cast all their care on the Lord because He cares for us, this would be that verse. I was actually thinking a little bit ago that the very first devotional that I ever did after becoming a Christian was on 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. And that's a good thing, because as a young believer, that was one of the first verses that really stuck out to me and helped me. I have nothing to say about the devotional. I'm not even going to go into it, but I think I might have, missed the boat contextually with it, but nevertheless, I think it was helpful for myself and other Christians to cast our care upon Him because He cares for us. And I just want to read this one quote. It says, "This is anxiety, and it's called the great ill of society. This is anxiety, and from the beginning, human life has abounded in occasions of anxiety. No doubt the measure of this evil varies with the character and temperament of individuals and with their needs and circumstances. The anxieties of some are personal, those of others are relative. Many are anxious because health is broken, or circumstances are narrow, or a vocation is uncongenial. Some are anxious concerning the prospects of their children, others concerning the state of their church or their country. The anxieties of not a few arise from their spiritual state and their temptations, their doubts and fears. These anxieties are distractions and have a tendency to depress the spirits, to mar happiness, and to cripple in the discharge of duty." How true. But we really probably didn't need to hear that from that gentleman. We probably knew that all on our own. I want to talk this evening about this idea of Peter. We're coming to the end of the book. We've moved to this section, which is Christian living. We've talked before about being living stones. We've talked before about being living saints in 1 Peter. We've talked about becoming living sufferers, because that's what we must do for Christ. We must suffer for Christ. But we must also be living Christians and live for Him, even in the midst of suffering and persecution. So with all of this in the background, of all of the major themes, but particularly of the major theme of suffering, Peter is now giving us a last series of practical admonitions how to live the Christian life, especially through suffering. So that's what we've come to. So let's just look at the verse that we're going to take a look at tonight, and we're only going to look at one verse, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. It only has 10 words, so instead of verse by verse, we're going to go word by word tonight. But it says, "Casting all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you." Now let me back up for just a moment. Let me go back up to verse 5. And I want to read verse 5 down through verse 11, because this is this whole section. Verse 5 says, "You younger men, likewise be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, for God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brother who are in the world. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To Him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. So this is His last barrage of admonitions. We've already looked at verses 5 and 6, which tells us to clothe ourselves with humility. We need to have humility in the midst of suffering. We need to have humility as a Christian character. For one thing, God opposes the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. And He gives grace to the humble through suffering and persecution, but He gives grace to the believer who is humble and is lifting up God rather than himself. And then in verse 7, He's going to give the admonition to cast all your cares upon God. So this is where we've come to. Now, before we go any further, let's just bow in a word of prayer. But then I'd like to just take this one verse, since it is so precious to so many Christians, and I'd like to just try to dissect it and talk about some of it for just a moment. Heavenly Father, we come before You, and we thank You for Your Word. And Lord, in some instances, it really needs no explanation, for it's self-revealing, Lord, of what we ought to do. But Father, the real challenge comes when we try to apply it, when we try to cast all our burdens upon You, then we keep taking them back. Or perhaps we really don't quite understand the fact that You care for us. Whatever the problem is, Lord, we're often anxious, and we ask You tonight that You would help us with that, even from the study of the Greek words and this construction that we have before us. But, oh Father, make it applicable that we can take it home and apply it to our lives, and we can have peace and not worry and not be anxious. For You are the all-wise, all-powerful, sovereign God. There's no reason for us to be anxious. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so as we take a look at casting all your anxiety or cares, or some versions say burdens, on Him, because here's the reason why we should do this. He cares for you. But I want to first put it back into context. Even though we put this verse on a plaque and put the plaque on our wall and we read it every day and it does help us, it is in the midst of a context of suffering. He's telling these persecuted believers to cast all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Now, I'm not saying that our cares are small. Well, yes, I am, because they are small in comparison to God. Everything we have is small. But, you know, here in America, if I have a hangnail, I cast all my cares upon Him because He cares for me. He's going to help me with my hangnail. But when you look in the Scriptures, the context is real suffering. Even martyrdom, loss of possessions, and persecution because of Christianity. That's where the believer needs to be casting all his anxiety. One can certainly see how a Christian would be anxious if he's being persecuted, and I mean seriously persecuted. He's being kicked out of his house, kicked out of an area, caused to leave his home and his possessions, and his very life is at stake. That causes an anxiety. But Peter says, casting all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Well, we know that the context is suffering. You remember way back in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. You remember that, where we read, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, who are chosen. So they're all scattered, and the group is made up of Jews and Gentiles. He's speaking to both Jews and Gentiles. These believers, as we've gone through the book of Peter, we found out they are redeemed by the Lord. They are built up by the Lord. Nevertheless, they will experience and have experienced suffering. Peter himself is no stranger to suffering. And he himself had suffered. He suffered some persecution before the Lord was crucified. But he certainly suffered persecution, as we know from the book of Acts, after Christ was crucified and then rose from the dead, and the Apostle Peter was given the Holy Spirit. So he was one who would have been knowledgeable of suffering. How did Peter get through this? Well, you can say, well, he's an apostle. He had to get through it. Well, yes and no. I mean, you still have to be obedient. You still have to be knowledgeable of the Scriptures. One of the interesting things that we find is that this very verse that he quotes is just about an exact paraphrase from Psalm 55, verse 22, which is what David wrote. And let me just read Psalm 55, verse 22. It reads, "Cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you, and he will never allow the righteous to be shaken." So you have the Apostle Peter, who is struggling with this suffering, and he goes to the Scriptures. And the Scriptures that brings him comfort is Psalm 55:22. He probably quoted it, he probably thought about it, he probably studied it, he probably preached on it. And we do see Peter, after a time, that he was one who was sustained by the Lord, and he was not shaken. In the end, he was not shaken. He did not forsake the Lord, even though he was crucified upside down. So then, when these believers are under persecution, and he's the apostle told by the Lord, "Feed my sheep," he gives them this verse that I believe was very personal to him, and he gives it to them under the inspiration of the Scriptures, and they are supposed to apply this verse to their lives while they are suffering. That's the context. That is the context that we have. Now, let's not forget the context, but I think we can also move forward, and we can see that this verse, whether it's in suffering or not, is a recipe against an anxious heart. So I wonder, I almost would do this, but I don't feel like I have to do it, but I'd like to see a raise of hands of all those who have been anxious at some point in their life. I'd like to see a raise of hands of all those people that have a tendency towards being worrisome and anxious. And I'd like to see a raise of hands of all those who might even consider themselves anxious tonight. I wonder how many hands would have stayed up for all three. Well, what is the recipe against an anxious heart? Because that's what we really need to get to. And Peter is going to answer that. And Peter is also going to give us reasons why we shouldn't have an anxious heart and how we do cast our cares upon him. So let's first of all look at our text and look at the word for casting. We are to cast it upon the Lord, to throw it upon the Lord. That's what we have here. So what does casting mean? What do we mean when we talk about casting? Well, first of all, the word casting is grammatically connected to verse 6. So you almost can't read verse 7 without reading verse 6. You almost can't read verse 6 without reading verse 5. But notice that it is a participle. Notice that it's a casting. It's a participle in English, and it's a participle in Greek. So it's connected to it. What's it connected to? Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time. How? Casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. So the idea is that if you're going to humble yourself, you've got to cast all of your anxieties upon the Lord. Well, why wouldn't you cast your anxiety on the Lord? Why would that be proud? Well, one might think that he can solve all of his problems and he doesn't need to ask the Lord to do it. That would be proud and that would not be humble. Another one may feel like he doesn't need to humble himself to these persecutors and to God's will. And so he's not going to cast his anxiousness to the Lord, because then he would have to submit to God's will. So there is a real connection here between humbling yourselves in the midst of suffering under the mighty hand of God. And when you are humble, you are going to cast your anxieties on him. You're not going to say, oh, well, I can handle that myself. You know, sometimes people think, and I've heard people say this, well, I just think I'm bothering the Lord if I pray to him with my problems. That's the whole concept of God. The concept of God is that man is never to be independent of him. He is to be dependent upon him. We're proud when we say, well, I could do it myself, and if I need help, God, I'll call upon you. That's not Christianity, nor is that humility. True humility says, I can do nothing without him. And you say, well, that, now, wait a second, that just sounds like weakness to me. Well, it may be weakness, but it is biblical, and it's what Jesus has already taught us. Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, here is a major spiritual truth that we can do nothing of ourselves. Oh, sure, we can do it in the flesh. We can do it carnally, but we cannot do it spiritually, righteously, and in a way that it pleases the Lord, unless we are abiding in Christ. John 15, 1 begins, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. So one who thinks they can do it without the Lord, they are being proud, and they are missing this absolute spiritual truth. And verse 2, I believe, is speaking to unbelievers. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Well, what does that mean? I think he's referring to Israel. Israel that has not placed their faith in the Messiah, but they are his people nationally. So even they, if they do not bear fruit, if they do not bear fruit with Christ, he takes them away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it. Verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. So that would be referred to anyone who's not in Christ. And that could also refer to a Jew back then and now who is not abiding in Christ but is religious. They're not abiding in Christ. They don't know Christ, and nor are they depending upon Christ to live in them and through them. So, there is a real connection between humility and casting. If you have to go to the Lord 100 times a day, then go to the Lord 100 times a day. You need to go to the Lord 100 times a day. Because the Lord says, for apart from me, you can do nothing. So what are you doing if you're not depending upon Him and coming to Him moment by moment throughout the day? But there's something else that we see in the grammar here too. This is, as I mentioned before, this is a participle, and it's an aorist participle. It gives the idea that when you cast your burdens upon Him, you cast all your burdens upon Him, and you cast them in its entirety all at once. In other words, it literally would be having cast your cares upon Him. Meaning that you've already done it. Meaning that it's not a matter of, well, I'm going to keep doing it. Now, that may be our case. That may be our experience. But what it really means is cast all of your care upon Him. Do it at once. Put it all there and leave it there. Now, you may find yourself having to do it again and again and again. I understand that. But it is the idea that this is what He means. In other words, if you have a burden, take it to the Lord. All your burdens, take to the Lord and leave them there. Don't take them back. It's not this idea where you're supposed to be going back and forth. Take them there, leave them there. And isn't that what we do? We, you know, it's like we put them there and then we start to think about them a little bit, you know? And then it's like, Lord, I've got to worry about this one. This one I have to worry about. This is the one that I need to just bring down and think about. And in a way, this is a precious truth for believers, that you can have victory over worry, and you can have victory over anxiety, and it is a battle. Now, as we're going to see, we are to be concerned about things. There's no such thing as callous Christianity, lackadaisical. Que sera, sera, whatever will be. That is not biblical Christianity. We are concerned about God's will. We're concerned about obeying His word. We're concerned about others and spiritual growth. But never are we to go to the point where those concerns become worries and they impede us and they distract us from fulfilling God's will. Now, getting back to this word casting, and here's another interesting thing about it. The word literally means to throw it on the Lord. And in the Bible, it's used of someone who is throwing a saddle cloth on an animal, a burden-bearing animal. And isn't that interesting? If you would look at Luke chapter 19, verse 35, it says, they brought it to Jesus. Now, this was the donkey. This was the colt. And they threw their coats on the colt and put Jesus on it. Well, that word for throw is the same word here for cast. But if you think about it, we here in Wyoming should understand this imagery. You have a burden-bearing animal like the horse or a mule. And instead of you carrying out the load while he just feeds and saunters his way home, you throw the load up upon him and he carries the load. Now, it's not the idea. We're not comparing God to a horse or anything like that. But God is the all-powerful one. There is no load that's too heavy for him. And we are to throw it upon him in the sense and cast it upon him in the sense that he will carry it for us. Why won't he carry it for us? It's his will that he's working out. We're worried that things aren't going to happen the way we want. Well, we should be worried about things not happening the way we want. It's not about happening the way we want. Things are happening according to his will, and we put that burden on the Lord, and he certainly carries it. Now, as we said before, Peter was paraphrasing Psalm 55, verse 22. And you can go ahead and turn there if you would. Psalm 55, 22. And you really get the idea of this. Cast, and by the way, in the Septuagint, that's the Greek translation of the Hebrew, it's almost verbatim for what Peter has said. Cast, and it's that same Greek word that we're looking at here, that epiripto, which means to propel or cast or throw. Cast your burden upon the Lord. And we certainly are talking about all kinds of things like anxieties and cares and things like that. And so it is a burden. We're carrying the burden. We're putting it upon the Lord. And it says, and He will sustain you. He's sustaining the burden, and He's sustaining you. He's the all-powerful God. And then David writes, He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. And this is in the idea of shaken to where one falls, shaken to where one is removed. I think the idea is that we certainly will feel the winds trying to shake us, but we are upon the rock, the solid rock. And again, Peter himself was very acquainted with suffering. And so he has learned to rely upon the Lord in this way. And so he's very equipped to tell these believers. But one other point before we move on. In Psalm 55, when David's talking about these problems that he's having, do you know what those problems are? It's in response to being mistreated by friends, by those who go to the house of God. In Psalm 55, verses 12 through 14, it says, "For it is not an enemy who reproaches me, then I could bear it. Nor is it one who hates me, who has exalted himself against me. Then I could hide myself from him. But it is you, a man my equal, my companion, my familiar friend. We who had sweet fellowship together walked in the house of God in the throng." Now, I'm not sure if Peter found some sort of personal application there, that maybe there were those who were religious Jews that were with him and would go to the synagogue together. And then when Peter began to follow Christ, they wanted nothing to do with him. They mocked him. Perhaps they were kind of like a thorn in the flesh all of his life. I don't know if that's a similar situation, but it's something that's pretty intense. It's a burden that's really intense, and that's what we're supposed to cast on to the Lord. Well, it says that we are to cast all our cares, burdens, or anxiety. And now I want to talk about anxiety, because this is really what it's all about. It's anxiety is the problem. We all have anxiety. At least I think we do. If you don't, I was thinking about this today. If you don't have anxiety, then you obviously must be 10 or 11 years old, living with your parents, having everything provided for you. Okay. Then, you know, that's when you don't have any worries. In fact, we've even said that as parents, have we not? They come to us, they tell us their problems, and we think, oh my word, if I only had those kinds of problems now. It seems to me that the older that we get, the more purposeful that we get. Even in the ministry, the more things we want to accomplish for the Lord, all of a sudden, our heart becomes very purposeful. We want to see these things done. We want to see God do them. We want everything to be right. Even these things can cause anxiety. So even as believers, you know, I feel like as a young man, I was a pretty happy-go-lucky guy. And you know, just as you get older and you become a father, you become a grandfather, you think about being an elder in a church or a pastor in a church, all of a sudden now you're caring spiritually for other people. Well, that, believe it or not, that doesn't always go the way you think it's going to go. We know that. And I think it can cause anxiousness and anxiety. I think there can be anxiety in the ministry. I think a pastor can have anxiety just as well as anyone else. And the point I made earlier was, you know, the opposite of that would be somebody who just says, well, I don't care about anything. That's not right either. That's not where we're trying to get as a Christian. We're not trying to get to some unemotional state that nothing bothers us. We are to care. We are to have a burden for the lost. We're to have a burden and an urgency to get the gospel out. We're to care like Paul said he cared for the churches, that they would grow and sanctify like a father nourishes the son. We are to have that heart, but it must stop at a certain point, and it must not turn into that negative worry and anxiousness. Now, the Greek word here is merimna. And in the New Testament, merimna, which means care or anxiety, it has both a positive and a negative meaning. Now, positively, it has a positive meaning that you care and you're concerned in a right and healthy way. It becomes negative when that care and concern turns into worry in an unhealthy way, unbiblical way. Now, to take a look at an example for the positive, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28. Paul, in this section, is relating his sufferings as an apostle. Now, he's not doing it because he's a whiner. He's not doing it to get attention. Some of which he is doing it is in defense of his apostleship, because the Corinthian church, that great super spiritual Corinthian church that had all of their spiritual gifts, charismatic gifts, they lacked discernment, and they listened to people who said that, you know, Paul, that Paul guy, he's not even a real apostle. He wasn't with the original 12. And so you want to find an emotional book. Look at 2 Corinthians written by Paul. And I mean, he's very sarcastic towards these Corinthians. He is an apostle of God. He's like a prophet of God in the Old Testament. He's an apostle of God who's been appointed. And so he's telling them some of the things that he's had to endure. And when we come to, let's just kind of go back and look at all this, but we want to get to verse 28. Here in verse 25 is this verse that we were referring to on Sunday. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Answers to the name Lucky. Once I was stoned, three times I was shipwrecked, a night and a day I have spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I had been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure on me of concern of all the churches. So this isn't saying that he's worrying and that he can't handle it, but he's saying, look, I am concerned daily about all the churches that we started and that we planted, and they're coming to Christ, and I'm concerned about false teachers coming in. I'm concerned about persecutors coming in. And so here's a sense where it's not negative. He's not worrying. He's not sinning. But he's concerned, as he ought to be. This is this Greek word, merimna. Now, where is it negative? Well, it's negative a lot. It's mostly negative. It's used of worries in life, like Luke 21:34. You don't have to turn there. He says, be on guard so that your hearts will not be weighted down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries, that's the word there, worries of life. And that day will not come on you suddenly like a trap. So he's, be on guard that the worries of life don't take you down. Because one of the things that the worries of life can do is to choke out the word of God. You know the parable in Matthew chapter 13 of the sower and the seed. And in verse 22, it says, "And the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful." So this is the same word. Positively means a good concern. Negatively, it means you're paralyzed. You're sinning. It's distracting you, and it's impeding you, and it's an obstacle from you serving the Lord and loving the Lord. And I think that's exactly the way Peter means it here. I think he's referring to any anxiety that impedes or distracts the believer from obeying and serving the Lord. That's the idea of it. Now, we know now that we are to throw our burdens upon the Lord. We're not to take them. We're to let Him take them. And that's any of these things that cause us to be anxious, and it could be anything. I'm not sure what's wrong with the microphone, but it just keeps cracking. Anyway, we're to not to be anxious about anything. Well, then how does one cast their anxieties on the Lord? How do you do this? Well, you know, you could become anxious about a microphone. You could become anxious about a microphone that, for some reason, has a mind of its own. Okay, can you hear me? Okay. How does one cast their anxieties on the Lord? If you think about what things would you need to know, what things would you need to do? Well, there's a couple here that I have for us. And let's take a look at this. Number one, someone who wants to cast their anxieties on the Lord, number one, obviously, he would do so in prayer. Let's turn to Philippians quickly. Philippians chapter 4. A very familiar verse. Another one of those verses that we could see on a plaque hanging inside our homes. You know, any verse that has anything to do with peace, comfort, and getting rid of anxiety, those are good ones to hang up on your walls. It says, "Be anxious for nothing." Okay, maybe that means be anxious for some things. No. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And watch this. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You know, I have to say that one of the, you know, there's certainly times we've all experienced this. One of the times that I've experienced this was when Darlene was going for her surgery, when some of the doctors said that she had cancer. And whether she did or whether she didn't, this tumor was connected to some organ, some vital organ, and they were going to have to cut the organ. It might have been the liver, it might have been the spleen, it might have been the pancreas, all of these things. And I remember the morning of the surgery, I was trying to worry, and I couldn't. I just couldn't worry. The people of God were praying for us. We had prayed, certainly, a lot. And the peace of God just passed all understanding. I found myself in such a habit of worrying that morning, it's like, okay, let's go through this routine again. It's like, come on, let's get going here. Let's start worrying about this. And I really felt a peace. I'm not saying that I felt a peace that she was going to be healed 100%. That's not the peace I got. I just had a peace that God was in control, that no matter what happened, it would be God's will. And that's what I was at peace with. So the first thing that we do is to cast our anxieties on the Lord. We do so in prayer, giving them to the Lord and asking the Lord to help us not take them back. I think that's fair game. I think when you pray, I think you could say, "Lord, you know how I worry about this. You know, it's one of those things I can't stop worrying about." You know, you say you're not going to think about it. You say you're not going to worry about it. Next thing you know, you're driving down the road, and there you are thinking about it again. Well, I think it's fair game to say, Lord, look, I'm going to do this no matter how many times it happens, but Lord, will you please just take this from me? So I think that's the first thing we do, prayer, and the scriptures help us with that. Then I think there's some things that we need to understand. It's not just prayer, but it's what you understand. And let me just say something here. It's what you understand about God is what's going to give you your peace in life. So, you may come to this church, and we may not have this entertaining band, worship band, that's going to just rock your socks. But we are going to give you the Word, and we're going to give you a knowledge of God and the attributes of God from the Word of God, so that when you leave here and trial hits, you know the first thing to leave when a trial hits is those warm fuzzies. They're out the door. And the music is no longer in your ears, but it's deep down in your heart, the attributes of God that you know without a shadow of a doubt. That's how you know God will take care of all things. So number two, he understands that they can give it to the Lord. Did you know that you can give your burdens to the Lord? They throw their burdens upon him because Scripture instructs us to do so. Did you know that you can throw your burdens upon the Lord? Did you know you're supposed to do that? Did you know you're not supposed to deal with them and be burdened with them to where you can't do anything? Right here, we're being told that we need to do it. So you need to understand this about the Lord, that he's caring and that he instructs us to do it. Thirdly, he understands God's omnipotence. He understands that the Lord is the only one who can carry all of our anxieties and burdens all of the time. You know, even other believers can't quite do that. Now, I will say this, that one of the things that I had no clue about was when being in the ministry, you know, you will hear people's problems, and sometimes those problems really do affect me. You know, they're, you know, burdens for them, but for the most part, there's an extra measure of grace that God gives. And I don't think it's just because I'm a pastor. I think all of us as Christians, when we hear burdens. But the truth is, you can't hear everybody's burdens and bear everybody's burdens. What you need to do when people come to you with all their burdens, you need to cast your burdens and their burdens upon the Lord and teach them to do the same. Because only God is omnipotent, all powerful. Only he can handle and carry all these burdens. And fourthly, he understands God's sovereignty. This is why when we teach God's sovereignty, this is why this is so important. Because if you don't see God as an all-sovereign God in all things, when it comes to these trials, you're going to struggle. Because he's not all-sovereign, but he is all-sovereign, the scriptures teach us. God has already decreed his will. And he is working all things together for good. Romans 8:28. He can do that because he is a sovereign God. Because he does all things according to the counsel of his own good pleasure. The world is not going downward and spiraling out of control. And God's up there chewing his spirit fingernails. He is in absolute control. And you know what? He's not worried. You know, he's not afraid of what's going to happen. So why should we be? He's the one who's controlling it all. And when it says that, and we know that God is causing all things to work together for good, let me just say what that is. That good is his glory. Number one, his glory. May not be your comfort. He's not necessarily working all things together for your comfort or my comfort. He is working all things together for his glory. And as believers, that's what we ought to be more concerned about, his glory rather than our comfort. But you could also say, too, that he's working all things out together for good. It would be our good in the sense that we're being made in the character quality of Christ. May not always be comfortable, may not always feel good, but at the end of the day, God's will is to sanctify us and make us like Christ, no matter what or who he uses to do it.
So this is a good application right in the middle of it, because we'd have to ask ourselves, okay, this is what we're supposed to do, but how do we do it? Number one, we pray. Number two, we understand that we can give it to the Lord and that we're supposed to give it to the Lord. Number three, we understand that God is omnipotent, all-powerful. And four, we understand that God is all-sovereign. But that's not the only reason. Peter is going to give us one more to this list. He says, casting all your anxiety on him because. There's one of those key words that we're talking about in Bible study. Because. This is the reason why you should cast your anxieties on him. Because of this next part. What part? He cares for you. Now, I want to just quickly look at the fact that he cares. And then I want to look that he cares for you. All right, so taking a look at the fact that he cares for you. That's what Peter's saying. Peter's saying, look, you can trust God. You can put it on God. You don't need to worry about it because he cares for you. Now, this word care is a different Greek word than in the first part. Like if you translated it, casting all your cares on him because he cares for you. He's not saying cast all your worries on him because he worries for you. That's not what it means. This word in the Greek is melo, and it means to be concerned, to be interested, or to care for someone. Now, if you look this word up in most of the New Testament, it's usually with a negative meaning no or not. In other words, you'll see the disciples saying, don't you care? Aren't you interested? Aren't you concerned? Don't you care for us? You know, in Mark chapter 4, verse 38, when he's sleeping in the boat and this storm is coming, Jesus himself was in the stern asleep on the cushion and they woke him up. And that just goes to show you right there that Jesus was sinless. Somebody wakes you up, do you tend to be a little grumpy? He wasn't. He woke him and said, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Now, let's just stop and think about this for a moment. Here is God the Son, whom in John 1:1 it tells us, and in John 1 it tells us that he created all things for himself and by himself. Now, we know the whole Trinity was involved in that, but I mean, all things were created by him and for him. He's God. But he decides to become a man because he wants to die on the cross for sinful man. And these disciples have the audacity to wake him up and say, don't you care? Wow. Well, that word for care is the word here. But most of these usages are the negative. Martha, you remember her? She was distracted with all her preparations. She came up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me. Well, there's no negative with this verb in 1 Peter. So in other words, it's saying, yes, he does care. The others are saying, don't you care? In this verse, he's saying, yes, God does care. And I want to just think about this for a moment. If God loved us so much that he didn't spare his own son, I mean, you think about what would God do to save man? Do you think he would give one of the planets away? Sure. You think he maybe even would give a galaxy away? Sure. But do you think he would give his son away? Wow, I don't think so. But he did. So if God loved us so much that he did not spare his own son, then how could we say he doesn't care for us? In fact, you know what the scripture says, Romans 8:32. It says, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? That's how much he loves me. There is nothing that he will not give us. He will not hold anything back that he wants us to have. Now, let me just stop here a moment. I'm not talking about the prosperity gospel. We're not saying that God is obligated to give us all things that we want, you know, health and wealth. That is not taught in the Scriptures. But He cares for us in a most perfect wisdom, in a most perfect will, in all things that He wanted to give us to bless us spiritually. He has already given us in Christ all spiritual blessings. He will freely give us all things. So He does care. So, you know, I wonder if that's some of the reason why we're so anxious. Because we're thinking, well, maybe God just doesn't care. I know He likes other Christians in the church. You know, you see their lives and they're blessed, but I'm really struggling. Maybe He just doesn't care for me. No, He does. And if He did not spare His own Son, then how will He not also freely give you all things? And that means He cares. So this is the idea that He cares. So this is another reason why we should cast all our care upon Him. Because He cares for you. Now I want to just think one moment about this phrase, He cares for you. To whom are both David and Peter referring when they say, you know, cast your burden upon the Lord and He will sustain you, or cast your anxiety upon the Lord because He cares for you? Who are we talking about? Are we talking about the entire world? That if anybody in this world will cast their cares upon God, then God will carry their burdens and care for them. No, that is not true. I do think that God cares for the world. He loves the world, but they have not entered into that relationship with Him. They have rejected His Son. The only thing that they will receive from the Lord is judgment. You know those little bumper stickers that says, God loves you? Just be careful with that. Because some people will think, well, gee, that means I'm perfectly fine with God. No, you're not. Yes, He does love you, but you are outside of Christ. You are outside of the promises. You have not come to the Father through Christ. So I'm sure there's a generic sense and a general sense in which He cares, but not in this specific sense that He cares for you and me. And that's why we should cast all our cares upon Him. Now, let me just kind of wrap this up here. So the way that we ought to cast our cares upon Him, number one, is prayer. Two, we need to understand that we can give it to the Lord. In fact, we're instructed to give our burdens to the Lord. We're not to really carry them around and be frozen by them. We understand that He's omnipotent, that He can carry all things, and that He's sovereign. It goes according to His plan. And the last one is that the believer knows, should know, that God cares for the believer. He is to be perfected in His love. Well, let me just read two observations and applications. First one is anxiety, the silent killer. We've all heard that high blood pressure is the silent killer because it can lead to a heart attack. But perhaps anxiety is the silent killer. Anxiety can cause high blood pressure, which can make us susceptible to a heart attack. In the same way, anxiety can be the silent spiritual killer. We can become so consumed with the worries of life that they choke out the Word. Even in a believer's life, they choke out the Word. I just can't seem to be interested in the Word. I can't seem to get it going. Why? Because I'm so worried about everything else. And you need to stop. You need to stop right now. Perhaps in a more subtle way, we can be consumed with the worries of being in God's will. Do you know there's some people who fret that they're in God's will or not out of God's will? Now, in a sense, there's a healthy part of that. We should all be concerned that every decision I make should be in accordance with God's word and God's will. Every decision that I make to take one job over another, I want it to be God's will and God's direction. So we should be. But if we're so consumed with that that we never take a step forward, there's a problem. But we can also have the worries of ministry. How am I going to get everything done? How am I going to get everything done? I don't have enough time in a day to get everything done. Well, remember that it's God's ministry. It's God's work. And He has chosen to allow us to be a part of it. We can be worried about people's spiritual lives, and we ought to be. We ought to be burdened. We ought to pray for people who walk away from the Lord. We ought to be burdened for people who are not walking with the Lord. We ought to be concerned and burdened for people who don't see a need to grow spiritually, to be in the house of God regularly. We ought to be concerned about that. But be careful. It can cause you to be anxious. It can cause you to be bitter. It can cause you to, you yourself, not be spiritual. And if that happens, anxiety becomes the silent killer that chokes out the Word of God along with its great promises of peace. And finally, prayer, the anxiety killer. There you go. Prayer removes anxiety because prayer takes the believer into the presence of God. In the presence of an all-wise, all-sovereign, and loving Father, the believer understands he has nothing to be anxious about. He transfers his burdens to the all-powerful and burden-bearing God. But nothing is a burden to the one who is working out all things according to the counsel of his good pleasure. So even this idea about God so strong that he can bear all of our burdens, they are not even burdens to him. It is God is the one who is working out all things according to his decree from the beginning and according to his good pleasure. They are not burdens. In other words, let God worry about his will, because he's not worried about it. We just obey him and serve him and love him and make sure that we're casting all of our cares. And there are cares that we have. And there are burdens and there are worries. Make sure we're casting them upon him, because he cares for us and he's taking care of things whether we trust him or not. Any thoughts or comments on 1 Peter 5:7, a great verse, it really is.